You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
Well, welcome back, church. I heard a story this week about a group of close, lifelong friends who lived in different cities, and to celebrate their 30th birthday, they planned a reunion. And someone suggested that they go to this new restaurant called the Golden Ember because it was new and trendy, and it's where the popular people went. They all agreed and went for dinner. 20 years passed, and they decided once again to reunite for their 50th birthdays. And someone again suggested they go to the Golden Ember because the place had good food and wine selection. They all agreed and they went for dinner. More time passed, and now it was their 70th birthday reunion. And someone suggested again that they all meet at the Golden Ember because the place was nice and quiet and it was easy to hear one another. They all agreed and they went for dinner. Then time came for their 90th birthday reunion, and again, someone suggested that they go to the Golden Ember because that restaurant was physically accessible and it didn't have any stairs they needed to climb. They all agreed and went for dinner. Well, the great milestone arrived. It was their 100th birthday, and these lifelong friends planned to celebrate. And someone in the group suggested that they go to the Golden Ember because they had never been to that restaurant before. And they all agreed and went for dinner. Is that funny? Oh, the sweetness of journeying through life with dear friends. We're in a sermon series called The Way of Friendship, where we want to press into both our need and desire for spiritual friendships as we follow Jesus together. And with this series, I have one single goal. I want to help you take steps in being a spiritual friend to someone else in your life. I want to help you take steps in cultivating friendships that amplify the spirit-filled life that God has dreamed for all of us, His people. I want to help you take steps into spiritual friendships. Here's the working definition of what I mean by when I say spiritual friendships. A spiritual friend is simply someone who genuinely cares about your life with Jesus. And last week, I talked about how spiritual friends care for our life with Jesus by helping us see God. Spiritual friends help us see God. And today, I want to talk about how spiritual friends help us be ourselves and see ourselves. And that's where we're going to go this morning. And to do that, I want to highlight some of the details that we see in the friendship that is shared between Jesus and Martha and Mary in this story that's captured, that Marcus read earlier from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them. I'll refer to the text a few times this morning. Now, there is good reason to believe that beyond the relationship with the disciples, Jesus' closest friends were Mary and Martha, along with their brother Lazarus. Or was it Lorenzo? No, it was Lazarus, right. Their friendship with one another is mentioned various times throughout the Gospels that we have in the Bible. And one of the well-known other accounts is in John chapter 11. I wonder if you remember the story. It's here where we see how deeply Jesus loved this family of friends, because he's standing at the graveside of Lazarus, his friend, along with Mary and with Martha, and he weeps. He loved these people. They were his friends. And now, we don't know a great deal about this family that Jesus knew and loved, But when we put some of the pieces together that we have in the scriptures, it appears that Mary and Martha, they were a wealthy and influential family that was living in Bethany, which was a suburb of Jerusalem. And it appears as though their house was used as something of a home base for Jesus when he was doing ministry in Jerusalem. He was often there, having a meal, having a rest, doing ministry from that center. And so in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus is on his way through town, Martha invites Jesus to her home. But it's not just Jesus she invites, is it? It's all 12 of the disciples. And I got to say, that's some kind of amazing hospitality. I mean, it's one thing to invite one of your friends over for dinner, but inviting along their 12 traveling companions is a whole other level. That's true friendship. Either that or there were a lot of leftovers she needed to get rid of. And now what strikes me as I read this text through the lens of spiritual friendships is I'm taken by how completely honest and comfortable both Mary and Martha are with Jesus. It's quite striking, really. First, there is Martha. The story makes it seem like Martha is running around quite frantically, in a frenzy. She's intent on being a good host to her guests. And she seems a little ticked off with her sister Mary, right? Because Mary isn't helping out at all. But the remarkable part in the story, and we often miss this detail, the remarkable part to me is that Martha takes her complaint about her sister Mary to Jesus. Now, you would think that if you've invited this famous preacher over for dinner, you would want to make a good impression, right? But here is Martha, and she's giving Jesus an earful about her sister. And it's not just that she's letting Mary have it with her comments. She actually lets Jesus have it as well. Listen, verse 40. Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that I'm doing all this work and Mary is just sitting there?" Ouch. The complaint and how she brings it to Jesus, it shows this comfort, this honesty in her relationship, in her friendship with Jesus. And as a no-nonsense person, Martha isn't afraid to be herself in the company of Jesus, her friend. And we see something similar in Mary. The detail we're given about Mary in this scene is that she is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him speak. Now, the author of this gospel, Luke, he gives us this detail because he's trying to tell us something specific. You see, disciples always sat at the feet of their rabbi when he was teaching them. And in the first century context, in the Jewish tradition of the day, it was only men who were selected to be a rabbi's disciple. Only men sat at the feet of the teacher to listen. That's simply the way things were. Which, incidentally, is another reason why Martha is so upset with her sister. It's not just that Mary isn't helping out with the housework. It's that Mary has taken up a posture that is quite scandalous in the day. She's taken up the posture of a disciple, that she stepped over a whole whack of social and gender expectations to do it. Again, all of it shows this comfort and honesty that Mary felt in her relationship with Jesus. As a courageous, non-conforming woman, Mary isn't afraid to be herself in the company of Jesus. And so she takes up the place that feels most natural to her, at the feet of Jesus, listening to him and learning. You see, in both Mary and Martha's friendship with Jesus, there is something very important at play. They're both at ease to be themselves. And this is key. They aren't keeping up appearances. They aren't trying to be something that they're not. And I can only presume that this is because they don't feel the need to do that when it came to their friendship with Jesus. Their friendship with him is the soil in which authenticity grows, which is key to every spiritual friendship. Spiritual friendships help us be ourselves. These friends are people we can let our guard down with, and we can be vulnerable with and share honestly with. And there's something about those friendships that are liberating. They're freeing. They're life-giving. Where we can be completely our true self with another person, with all our quirks and all of our hang-ups and all of our idiosyncrasies. There is something powerful about being able to let your guard down and to know that you can be yourself and you won't be dismissed, you won't be rejected, you won't be disliked or judged. Spiritual friends, they always help us be ourselves. And here's why that's so important to following Jesus. It's important because we cannot grow if we're pretending. We cannot grow if we're pretending. Brian Wilkerson is a pastor in Massachusetts, and he says, "We can't grow if we're hiding. We can't speak into each other's lives unless we are being honest with each other. We can't become who God wants us to be until we face who we are and do that in the company of other people. If you want to grow, to become the person that God wants you to be in the future, you need the freedom to embrace who you are in the present. And we need friends to help us do that with. So what would it look like for you to cultivate those kinds of friendships, those spiritual friendships? What would it look like for you to be the kind of friend to another person that allows them to be themselves, no strings attached? I venture to guess it means taking the risk and letting your own guard down and being your vulnerable self with another person. Spiritual friends, they help us be ourselves. But they also help us see ourselves. One of the greatest gifts a spiritual friend can give us are eyes to see the things about ourselves that we're either unable to see or unwilling to see in our own life. A spiritual friend, if you're willing to let them, they can help you see the beauty and goodness that you carry as God's beloved child. But they can also help you see the brokenness that you carry that Jesus wants to heal. A good friend is one who helps you see the whole truth, the good, the bad, and the ugly, so that it all can be brought to the feet of Jesus and be made whole. There are two types of people in the world. Now, I know this is a generalization, but stick with me for a moment. There are two types of people in the world. There are those who think less of themselves as they should. And Marcus referred to that this morning, actually. And then there are those who think more of themselves than they should. On the one hand, we have those inclined to think that they never measure up. And on the other are those who think that they're just a little bit better than the rest. And we're always, we aren't always tuned in to the bigger picture of reality. We tend to fall on one end of the spectrum. And a spiritual friend is someone who can help us see the parts of ourselves that we often overlook or aren't inclined to see. They help us see the whole picture of who we really are. Consider Jesus' friendship with Mary in Luke chapter 10. Jesus draws attention to the goodness of her actions, right? It's in verse 42. Jesus says, "Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Here, Jesus is affirming what he sees in Mary, her desire to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus. And her desire to learn from him and follow him as the Messiah. And when I imagine it, I can imagine Jesus saying something like this. "You know, Mary, I love that about you. Your passion to know God and follow his ways. You're filled with determination, Mary. I love that about you. You have the gift of faith." See, in that moment, I believe Jesus is showing his friendship to her by pointing out the God-given qualities that she possessed. And we need friends like that on the journey of faith. We need friends to help us see what Jesus sees in us. We need that kind of friend. A few years ago, I met with a younger pastor that I would meet with from time to time, and we talked through some of the challenges that he was facing in ministry. And as he shared, I offered a few reflections that I believed were on God's heart for my friend. And I told him that I believe God had gifted him not only to be a shepherd to the people of the church, but also to be a prophet among them. I shared how in all the long years I had known my friend, I had seen him lead like the prophets in the Old Testament, speaking a bold word that called God's people back to his will and to his ways. And I was simply pointing out what I had always seen in my friend. Well, in the months and years that came after that conversation, my pastor friend tells me that that conversation unlocked something for him. He had never seen himself as a prophetic voice in the church. But as he looked back on his life, he realized that he had functioned that way over and over and over again. He saw it everywhere. And that conversation, it gave him the confidence to lean into the spiritual gift that God had entrusted to him, but he didn't even know was there. And the point is, spiritual friends, they help us see what Jesus sees in us. And we need friends like that. We need to be friends like that to others. But there's more. Spiritual friends, they also help us see what Jesus wants to heal in us. They help us see the brokenness that we live with and where our lives are out of sync with him and his kingdom. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus, he loves Martha enough to call her out and to redirect her attention to what really matters most to God. Verses 41 and 42. Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better." See, Jesus calls something out where she's a little out of sync with God's heart and priority in that moment. And you see, spiritual friends, they do that. They help us see where we're out of sync with God and his priorities. I have a mentor named Dave Sattler from North Shore Alliance Church, where I've come from. And he's walked with me for the better part of 13 years of ministry. And he's taught me almost everything that I know about being a pastor. And in those early days, Dave would sit down with me after every sermon that I would preach, and he would take time to talk it through with me, to encourage me, to help me see where I could improve, to help me grow as a pastor and a preacher. Well, about 3 years into our mentorship, after one sermon that I preached, Dave pulled me aside and he asked me, "Keith, I've noticed that when you're speaking, you often use this self-deprecating humor." I remember the words because I don't think I ever heard the word self-deprecating before. I learned it that day, Dave. And he went on and he said, "You like to get a laugh by throwing yourself under the bus, don't you?" I laughed and I said, "Yeah, I guess I do." Then he asked the pointed question, "Why do you think you do that, Keith? Is it because you're insecure about yourself when you're speaking in front of other people? And humor is your way of dealing with your insecurities?" I wasn't ready for that question. And to be honest, it stung. But as I reflected on Dave's question, I realized he was on to something. He was uncovering something that I didn't see. I often deal with my own insecurities through self-deprecating humor, now that I know what that is. Getting a laugh, in a way, I seek validation. And as we talked, I realized that Jesus wanted to heal me of that need for validation. It's not that he didn't want me to use humor. It's that he wanted to fill that place where I felt insecurity, because only he can fill it and heal it. He wanted me to know the confidence that comes with God's blessing and being called his child. Jesus didn't simply want me to manage my own insecurities through humor. He wanted to heal them. And Dave, naming what he saw, it opened the door to Jesus's healing in my life. And we need people like that in our journey of faith. We need to be people like that in the journey of faith. People who love enough to graciously speak into another person's life so that they can see the things that Jesus wants to bring freedom and healing to. But let me take things one step further. We also need people to help us see where our lives are out of sync with Jesus and his kingdom because of our own sin. Remember the story of King David and his advisor Nathan in 2 Samuel. Those characters come up a few times in 2 Samuel, and in each time it speaks about this spiritual friendship that Nathan has with King David. But there's one in particular I want to draw your attention to. It's the one in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 7 to 14. Nathan comes to King David out of his concern for David's own life and relationship with God. And Nathan calls David out on something horrible, horrible he has done. David, you might remember in the story, he had had an affair with a woman named Bathsheba. She was a married woman. She had become pregnant through their encounter, and David devised various plots to cover this up, to keep it secret, to hide his sin. And the plots ultimately ended up with Bathsheba's husband being put on the front line of battle and killed. And David then became her husband. And all of this was kept secret. But Nathan, knowing what had happened, he was unwilling to turn a blind eye to the secret that the king held. He was unwilling to let his friend live under the weight of this sinful offense against God and against many people. And so Nathan, a simple advisor to the king, he risks his own life, his job, and certainly his friendship with David so that he could call out the sin of the king, so that David's life would be restored to God and God could set right what David had set wrong. You see, a spiritual friend doesn't play the role of a yes person in your life. Someone who simply affirms everything you think or say or do. A spiritual friend doesn't live by the mantra of "to each their own." A spiritual friend cares enough to graciously unsettle the cart and to offer a word of correction when it's needed in order to help us follow Jesus more faithfully. Oh, we are wading deeper into the waters of spiritual friendship. Now things are getting risky. To have a friend that we give access to our conscience and permission to speak words of rebuke and correction, a confronting word that doesn't threaten the foundation of friendship but only strengthens it. That's the kind of friendship that we need to help us follow Jesus more faithfully. And so let me ask you, have you given someone the permission to speak into your life with that kind of friendship? Someone who has access to the command center of your heart and life. Someone who has the freedom to offer you a word of rebuke and correction for the ways in your life that you are living that are out of sync with Jesus and His kingdom. Have you taken that risk? And are you willing to take the risk to lovingly and graciously be that kind of friend with someone else? There is a loving way to do it, of course. Because when spiritual friends help us see our own sin, they do it in a way where they are not heaping shame and guilt upon us, but bringing the freedom of Jesus to us. Brené Brown says, "Shame is the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and are unworthy of acceptance and belonging." Spiritual friends, they have a way of showing us our sin without the weight of shame because we know we are wholly accepted and belong to them no matter what happens. Here's what I want you to carry with you this week. Spiritual friends, they help us be ourselves and see ourselves, the good, the bad, and the ugly, so that we might grow to become all that God is calling us to be. So let me invite you to develop that kind of friendship this week with someone in your life. How? Well, that's the tricky part. I don't know what it looks like in your life. It'll look different for everyone. But here's the first step that we can all take together here, right now, today. There is a step we can take. And with this, I will close. We can let Jesus be a friend to us. And then we can follow His lead. So let me invite you right now to close your eyes and imagine Jesus right where you're at in your living room. Close your eyes and imagine Jesus. He is your perfect spiritual friend. He loves you more than you will ever know. Imagine Him standing right before you. Imagine how delighted in you He was when He knit you together in your mother's womb. And imagine how much He loved you when He took your place upon the cross. Jesus has embraced you as the closest of friends, and nothing can separate you from that friendship. There is nothing that you can do to threaten that friendship. Your quirks and awkwardness, they don't send Jesus running for the hills. Your sin and your brokenness, they don't make Him turn His back upon you. Jesus is eternally committed to this friendship with you, which means you can be completely yourself. No need to pretend. No need to hide. And now, imagine asking Jesus to tell you the good things he sees in you. Ask him what he sees in you that he likes, what he's made in you that makes you unique and special to him. Ask him. And now ask him where he sees things in your life that he wants to heal or forgive. Hear the voice of Jesus today. Receive these things. Live into these things. Put them into action. And church, as you receive from Jesus this gift of friendship, may it be the model and the guide for your spiritual friendships in the days ahead. Amen.